Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
So if you haven't already worked it out, today we are talking about the people of Israel on their journey from slavery into freedom, with God taking them through into the unknown, into the wilderness, waiting for their promise. And I'm wondering today if you, like me, have been in a season of waiting. Have you ever not known where you're going before? So recently, my husband took me on a birthday surprise weekend. I didn't know if the boys were coming at first. I didn't know what to pack. I didn't know whether I needed bathers or whether I needed a hat or whether I needed walking shoes. And have you ever been in a place where you so desperately want to know where you're going so you know how to be prepared? How many planners are in the room alongside me, control freaks even, that need to know what they need to prepare? Husbands, don't put your wives' hands up for them. Taking supplies, wanting to pack, or maybe you're in the car and your maps died all of a sudden and you're like, how am I going to get to where I need to go? I think so many of us always are wanting an itinerary in front of us. And have you been in a waiting season? I know personally, so many of us are sitting in a waiting season. Some of you might have known through Steve and I, storytelling and having relationship with you guys, we've been on a journey with my brother and his wife, desperately wanting to conceive a child, and they're in a waiting season. They've been told by the doctors that they cannot have a child together. And so we, together as a family, have been fasting, praying, believing, but we cannot see the promise. All of us here at Pneuma Church know that we're in a waiting season after 2.5 years without a senior pastor, waiting for the shepherd of our Pneuma flock to be found, praying and believing that God has the right man and woman for the job. And it has been a hard waiting season. And a lot of you know through Steve in his sermons and just relationally that my mother-in-law, his mum, currently is non-verbal with severe Alzheimer's, and we can no longer talk to her. We can't converse with her properly. We try and see her on FaceTime, but she can't look to us. And just the heartache of what that's like, believing for healing in a family member, believing for something. Some of you know I was made redundant at the end of last year, as many of us in here have experienced that over the last 12 months. Wondering what is ahead. I know there must be something on the other side. Well, recently as I was chatting with God about my circumstance and asking him why he's not allowing me to see forward, God showed me the picture, just as Alpha spoke on, of the Israelites as they walked in the wilderness with the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. And I was chatting to God because I said, why is there a fog in the way? Why is there something in the way where I can't see ahead? God, why is the enemy preventing me from seeing? It's like deception, it's fog. And immediately I begin to see God's character in the fog, and he was showing me that he was close. And just like the Israelites, as they were being led and being guided by the fog, that God is allowing the fog in my life. He is the fog sitting in front of me, so close, so near, preventing me from seeing what's ahead. For whatever reason, he doesn't want to show me. And it's because he loves me. He's teaching me. He's guiding me. He's protecting me. He wants to grow me in dependence. He wants me to build trust in him. And maybe even protecting me from the unknown. You see, our dad, he knows us so well. And today my sermon title is Fathering Through the Fog. On this Father's Day, we need to remember, no matter the circumstances of our earthly fathers and the grief that today might bring, that we have the perfect Father that is fathering us through. And have you ever blamed the enemy for something that God is allowing in your life? So we're going to turn to a scripture that talks through this, just briefly, Alpha, do you want to come up and do this one too? Numbers 9, 15, 23. I have to do the deep, bellowing voice. You were just so good. Okay, so Numbers 9, verse 15 to 23. There's a lot of repetition in here, but I want you to listen through the repetition of what God is trying to show us. So on the day that the tabernacle was set up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony. And at evening, it was over the tabernacle like the appearance of fire until morning. So it was always, the cloud covered it by day, an appearance of fire by night. And whenever the cloud lifted from over the tent, after that, the people of Israel set out. And in the place where the cloud settled down, there the people of Israel camped. And at the command of the Lord, the people of Israel set out. And at the command of the Lord, they camped. As long as the cloud rested over the tabernacle, they remained in camp. Even when the cloud continued over the tabernacle, many days the people of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and did not set out. Sometimes the cloud was a few days over the tabernacle, and according to the command of the Lord, they remained in camp. Then according to the command of the Lord, they set out. And sometimes the cloud remained from evening until morning. And when the cloud lifted in the morning, they set out. Or if it continued for a day and a night, when the cloud lifted, they set out. Whether it was 2 days or a month or a longer time, the cloud continued over the tabernacle. Abiding there, the people of Israel remained in camp and did not set out. But when it lifted, they set out. At the command of the Lord, they camped. And at the command of the Lord, they set out. They kept the charge of the Lord and at the command of the Lord by Moses. Let us pray. Father, we just thank you for who you are. We thank you that you are our perfect Father. And we just ask, Lord, today, as you have placed a word on my heart to share with us as a church, that they don't hear my voice, they hear you speaking to them. We thank you that you see far ahead and that you know us so well. We pray these things in your name. Amen. So today I wanted to go through four ways that he teaches us as our Father through the fog. And the first one that we read through this passage is, as our Father, he is teaching us to wait. We see their entire journey was ordered simply by watching, keeping their eyes on his presence. The tabernacle was a symbolic thing that they had at the front of the Israelites as they were walking that held his presence. And as they walked, they would watch the movement of the presence. We are being encouraged to keep in step. It says Galatians 5:25, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. They watched, they waited, they were growing in endurance. And we always bag out the Israelites, don't we? Oh, the Israelites whinging and whining. But unfortunately, we begin to realize we're way more like the Israelites than we'd like to admit. The pillar of cloud by day, the fire by night. He never left them. He stayed with them. He fathered them through the fog. Their calling was not to predict God's timing, nor was it to try and work everything out. But what God was calling them to and is calling us to is to listen to his voice and to respond and allow waiting not to be a passive time, but something that we engage in him. And it's not always about the destination, but the journey. How is our attitude along the way in a season of waiting? How's our behavior, our daily rhythms in the journey? We see in Numbers 21, as we read before, whether it was 2 days or a month or a longer time, The cloud continued over the tabernacle. Sometimes we may be in waiting seasons for years upon years, and sometimes it's weeks upon weeks. God knows what he's doing, and we need to trust him in the waiting. Are we trusting his sovereign timing? It's one of the hardest things to do, is be in a season of waiting. The second thing is, as our Father, he is showing us to remember. And we heard so beautifully in Psalm 78, I'll just read an excerpt from what Alpha read. We've heard true stories from our fathers about our rich heritage. We will continue to tell our story and not hide from the rising generation the great marvels of our God, his miracles and power that have brought us this far. They didn't really believe the promises of God. They refused to trust him and move forward. They forgot his wonderful works and miracles of the past. You know what this says to me is God is inviting us. He's showing us that remembering his goodness is so important. That if we're going to get through seasons of waiting, seasons of fog where we can't see ahead, we need to remember his goodness, his miracles. For the Israelites in the Exodus story, remembering the plagues that he took them through to get them out of slavery, the manna that they ate, the miracle food that came from the sky, they were forgetting. So much so in the Bible, it even says for them to take it and put it in jars as a remembrance of that time. He gave them quail. And even acknowledging that the cloud by day, some say, was protecting them from the elements, the sun, helping them not to get burnt, and being a light by night with the pillar of fire. God thought of everything to protect them. Can we document our journey, the testimonies, the miracles, every win we can see where God has moved, even in times of trial? We must remember to look for signs of his goodness and kindness and his presence. He is with us always. I love how Nehemiah in chapter 9, verse 12, some of you may know of him as someone that was asked to build the wall to protect the Israelites from the enemy. And through his trials and tribulations of trying to achieve that, a call from God. He says, by a pillar of cloud you led them in the day, and by a pillar of fire in the night to light for them the way in which they should go. This in Nehemiah was documented nearly 1,000 years after the passage that we read. But even Nehemiah needed to remember the promises of old, the miracles of old in his time of trial. And I love in Deuteronomy 29, it also says, but to this day the Lord has not given you a heart to understand or eyes to see or ears to hear. I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes have not worn out on you and your sandals have not worn off your feet. What an incredible miracle that for 40 years of them going through the desert and walking in unknown spaces, that no one had their sandals worn out or their clothes worn. What if we are living in a miracle and we're too distracted by the promise to see it? So today we don't have a cloud. But in Jesus, God's presence is no longer represented in a pillar of cloud or fire, but it is revealed in the person of Christ. Today, do we trust the presence that he sent, the Holy Spirit? What an incredible honor that we have the Holy Spirit in us, something that the Israelites did not have. Yes, they had emblems and signs to follow and a leader who could hear God's voice. But today, each and every one of us are entrusted to carry the Holy Spirit. And I love this in John 1, 14. If you can turn there with me. It says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And I loved seeing this word dwelt. In Greek, it means skenu. Everyone say skenu. And skenu means to tabernacle, to pitch a tent, to dwell. You see, Jesus was sent on earth to tabernacle with us. What an incredible use of words that John chose to use to help us visualize and picture the times of the Israelites as they walked, being led by the tabernacle. Jesus became the living tabernacle on earth for us to dwell. So it reads, the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. He sent his Holy Spirit to tabernacle with us, to guide us, to lead us. And as our Father, he is inviting us to dwell. Eva, if you wouldn't mind coming up and the team, as we get ready for a time of worship. So I realized as I was walking through my own season in the dwell that the fog I saw before me that felt like disorientation was actually the Holy Spirit before me. And this is what's so important about us reading our Bible and learning the character of our God, because I began to realize that the fog wasn't the enemy. The fog was my dad. He was close. And as we all drive to work, we probably have in recent weeks being in cold Melbourne, when you're driving and there's fog before you, what do you practically begin to do? We slow down. Our senses begin to awaken. Because we can't see, we begin to listen more. We begin to look to our senses. What do we sense? What do we see? We maybe put our dimmer on. We open a window. We begin to look deeper because the fog is in our way. And I believe in this invitation of dwelling, he's wanting us to be alert. He's wanting us to surrender. He's wanting us to surrender to the fog as he leads and guides us through. And lastly, as our Father, he is asking us to obey. Do you know, I mean, most of you probably do, but so many Israelites never made it to the promised land. They were whinging. They were worried about their comfort. I don't want to be that person. On a journey that would almost take between 2 to 3 weeks, it took them 40 years to walk. Are we taking longer than we need because we're not listening to his voice? God declared that the generation who had seen his miracles but refused to trust him would die in the wilderness. The journey was delayed, but not because God couldn't get them there, because they couldn't trust him enough to go in. And I want to challenge us today, church, is that our story? Is God waiting on us? We think we're in a waiting season, but actually, he's waiting on us. We read in the passage in Numbers earlier, 7 times you heard it said, at the command of the Lord. Are we staying when he asks us to stay? And are we moving when he asks us to move? Are we listening to the voice? Are we slowing down in surrender to hear his still small voice? Are we allowing him to father us through the unknown and leaning into Him.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.